state your thing. Don't allow the person to come back and try to manipulate you.
Like, don't fist fight your psychic.
Don't fist fight your psychic. Welcome to Signal, the podcast that raises your frequency. I'm Maury Fontanez.
And I'm Melissa Grushka.
And today we're going to help you understand how to trust a healer. Dean, are you intrigued?
Beyond.
Hey, Signal listeners. Many of you know this, but I have written a book called Higher Self, Reclaiming the Power of Your Intuition. It is officially on sale everywhere you buy books on March 11th, but you can support how this book gets out in the world by pre-ordering anywhere that you buy books. We will link in the show notes. Higher Self is a blend of my personal memoir and my coaching method on exactly how you can tap into your intuition and embody your most empowered, dignified self. So definitely take a moment and check it out. It would mean the world to me. What's up, my friend?
What's up? You know, I noticed on the YouTube videos, go check out YouTube.
Oh my God. Even I don't want to go check out our YouTube.
Or whatever. Fine. Just on our videos that you sit extremely still and I am like, my head is moving. My hands are moving. Like things behind me are moving. Am I fidgety? Am I a fidgety person? I don't think of myself as that.
I'm gonna watch you to see if the answer is yes. I don't experience. You know who's fidgeting? My 14-year-old son. Holy,
but that
shit,
makes sense.
That kid can't sit still.
Yeah, that makes total sense. Evie so can't sit still.
Maybe you and Keon, you have the same birthday,
so we have the same level of fidgetiness. But I don't think I talk with my hands. I know that it's like a Jewy thing, but I don't think of myself as very fidgety. But every video, I'm like a toddler, like climbing up the wall and sitting, and you are like cool, calm, and collected in one spot.
I think that is the entire vibe of the whole podcast.
Show. It's totally true. I'm just staying on brand. Anyway,
although sometimes my ADHD does get all up in there and makes it chaotic. Like last episode where I interrupted you to ask about my necklaces.
Yeah, you know? But that's right. You still said it sitting very still.
Oh, I see. Yeah. Maybe I'm meant to be a host, guys. Call me.
What? What? Oprah, what?
What? What's up? What's
oh,
the
man, I'm moving again.
The deal? What's the cringe? What's the delight? What's
it's
the
delight.
Deep?
I hate to be so delightful in times that feel very dark, but actually, you know what? Fuck that. I love to be delightful. Yeah, I love
to be delightful.
Can I tell you something?
Delightful. Can I tell you something that
no.
I was talking to my friend
what if
and
I was like,
Ryan
no.
about?
What?
She's doing this thing. I hope she comes on and talks to us about it. I don't want to say too much because it's new.
I want to say it.
It's just, I'm going to say it's around play. And we were talking about this around the times that we're in. And we both were like, you know what? Joy is resistance.
Fuck yeah. I love that. That's a good merchandise thing. Joy
well,
is
I know
resistance.
I would take it, but she's got to take it. I'm going to give it to her.
Oh, she said it? She can be in a collab
no,
with our merchandise.
No, I said it, but I think she's got to own it because she's doing a play thing. Anyway, regardless, a please be delightful is what I'm saying. We need it.
Okay, well, speaking of plays, my delight is last weekend I went to New York with a friend of mine for her birthday, and we stayed overnight, which is always super fun. It's a real nice act of self-care, referencing another episode that we have. And I saw Chicago, and I'm not going to lie, it was probably like my fourth or fifth time seeing Chicago. I haven't seen it in 15 years. That is a goddamn amazing musical. Do you love Chicago or no? Have you never seen it?
Maybe I've seen it too many times so that when I see it, I feel like, okay, I get it. I think I've just seen it. I've seen it too much. It's just, sorry.
I don't think it could ever get old to me. And like then the joy of walking around just singing it nonstop afterwards, it's honestly, it's an amazing, it's probably my fave.
What song did you sing walking around?
And all that jazz. Oh, dun, dun. Remember we used to sing every episode? What happened? And all that jazz. Yesterday I was cleaning my house and I had my headphones on. And sometimes like to really motivate myself, I will put on my, I have like these big, big headphones. That you can like up the bass and stuff. And I'll blast Beyonce to motivate myself to clean my house. Yes. And I like scream it at the top of my lungs. Oh. And I'm like, you can't crush my soul. Anyway, my husband recorded it. Me screeching and then sent it to my daughter in school saying, doesn't this sound like a dying cat?
Corey Grushka. I'm coming for you, man. Also, tell him to put me on that text thread.
Okay. I'm going to send it to you. This one was, I don't know what was happening in my world. It was really deranged.
TJ's social media is LinkedIn. So I'm going to let that just tell you what it needs to tell you about TJ. Love you, babe. He posted last night. He like always posts these professional things. And last night he posted this picture of me that he took from behind me while I was laying on the couch watching Golden Girls. And he was like, this is how my wife decompresses after a day of promoting her book, running a board meeting, and working with clients. I was like, it's true. You caught me with my girl.
I love that, one. Two, is LinkedIn like that? I didn't know LinkedIn is like that.
That's why it's really cute and funny. And I think that TJ just shows up in ways that are unexpected and like very executive. You know, he's like a executive guy, but his whole purpose is to show that you don't have to be like a dude who's a disconnected robot as a human. Yeah.
Speaking of, really quick shout out to, we had a client, you have a client that emailed, I'm always on all the emails, and in one of his emails, he responded, I'm really sorry I had to dip out so early. I've had a sick kid home all week and I need to get home to tend to my kid and support my wife. And I screenshotted and sent it to Corey because sometimes I feel like Corey is hesitant to say like, oh, I got to go. I have to take my kid. And I'm always like, this is life. Like you shouldn't be penalized because you're also a present father. You know what I mean? And I think more people need to speak like that and not always be in this executive mode to make it like acceptable. Yeah.
I'm just going to add a few things. I hope he doesn't listen to this podcast. But
he doesn't. Don't worry.
You're going to lose it. He's British. And he's so attractive.
Oh, he is?
So, and he's also such a nice. Your husband's not British.
Right. I thought you were saying, I hope he doesn't listen to this podcast.
No, this client you're talking about. So I'm just like, your crush on him is going to develop if you ever see him or speak to him because he's so kind and just very,
I mean, obviously, just based on that email alone, it was so beautiful to see a man say that. And,
I know.
And be like, and shout it from the rooftops almost. Yeah. Women have to say it all the time. Like, I got to get home. My kid is sick. Nobody bats an eye. And now I'm like, good job, buddy.
I know. Listen, our goal, our New Year's resolution was to make these shorter episodes. And we've been bullshit chit-chatting for 5 minutes.
How do I trust a healer? I did a really great healing session 2 weeks ago.
Can I talk about myself for a minute? Just catch you up on my life? Do you not care?
I just wanted to get to the 30 minutes. Go.
I'm just going to say that my cringe was that my publisher insists on sending my book out to get reviews because I guess that's just the way you do it. And Publisher Weekly didn't like the book. So he was mean.
He was mean.
He was mean.
He was mean. And he didn't have to say it in that language. Like, it's fair. You don't have to like the book. Again, it might not be for everyone. You don't have to be everyone's cup of tea. But why do you have to be shitty about it?
Yeah. My friend wrote back, snarky bitch. I was like, that really sums it up. It was snarky. And
it was snarky.
You know,
like he was in a grumpy mood that day.
He was in a bad mood. That's exactly what it was. So my cringe was that was the first review, official review.
Sorry, Bean. That's not laughing. It's sad.
But I promise you guys, I have asked people who are legitimately, listen, okay. I think that if you're in the work, in the desire of self-growth, you will love it. I do hear that from people. I think that's not his ballgame.
Which is fine. And maybe though he shouldn't be reviewing books that are not like in his.
Why is he reviewing a self-help book? I don't get it.
I don't know.
Well, that was my cringe. You were so wonderful and lovely.
I don't even know what to say. I almost cried when I read it because I was like in a fight in rage. I couldn't help it.
Yeah, tell me how you felt when you read it.
And mad. I like wanted to send him a letter about how stupid his write-up was.
You were going to critique his critique.
I was going to critique that critique and tell him what a stupid, miserable critique it was. I know.
You were like, I'm going to fight. Which I appreciate it. I was like, go punch him, Bean.
Yeah, you're welcome. I am very intimidating.
You are actually. You actually are.
No, I can emotionally intimidate you, but I don't think I'm physically intimidated.
Yeah, emotionally intimidated. Agreed.
Yeah, thanks.
Well, we have no transition, so we're just going to go right to it. So listen, I really want to make sure that everyone who listens and who follows us and who wants to be on this self-development journey guards their energy and guards the way that they trust others who promise to heal them of all of the things that cause them to suffer. So we were talking about it and we're like, you know what? Let's just spend a few minutes talking about how to trust a healer, how to know that you can trust a healer, and what to do if you get the vibes that you can't.
I often don't know until I go. Like, is there a way to do it up front?
There is. I'm going to talk about some of that. And I think it's like the interactions that you have up front. But I did want to ask you, have you ever like been with a healer where you're like, no.
I feel like there are parts of healers, even healers that I like, especially because I constantly go back and forth between being like super skeptical and fully believing it, diving in. So yes, many times I've been like, what, like what? In fact, I even saw a psychic that I loved and she nailed it. And then the second time I went back, I was like, this feels super generic. Mm. And I was shocked because her first round was like so detail oriented. And then I was like, was I just in a weird headspace going in the second time and not as like open as I was the first time? And then I talked to someone else who sees her and she said, I think she blows her whole load on the first visit.
Oh, okay.
And I was like, I think that might be right. Fair enough. She gives you everything she's got.
Yeah.
And you're like, oh shit. And then you want to go back.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. That's true. That's true. The ones that have like freaked me out are the ones who are like, oh, you have a curse on you. And if you come back, then I can clear the curse. Or if you pay me X, Y, and Z. That happened to me once in Fredericksburg, Virginia. We went with my family. We were just like hanging out. And we're like, oh, look at this. I mean, that's the other thing is like, we just saw her sign up in the window and we knew nothing. So you got to make sure you know who you're going to. But she read our palms and she got my uncle spot on. She made my uncle cry. Yeah. My uncle's like pretty stoic. So then I was like, oh, okay. Legitimate. And then she was like, you have a curse on you. Someone put a curse on you and you need to come back so I can clear it. And I was like, first of all, holy shit, what if you're right? And then I was like, wait a minute. That's not the universe I live in. That's not what my spirit guides would ever do, is let me not be clear of a curse unless some lady gets paid $200.
Wow. Why couldn't she just clear it right there?
Exactly, because she was a con artist. All right, so I'm going to give you some rules, and then we're just going to talk about what you can do if you feel a little spidey-sensey that it's not the right person. Okay, so the first one is healer's integrity. How can you find a way to understand a healer's integrity? There's a couple things to look for. First of all, transparency. Up front, they're really clear about their methods, how much it costs to spend time with them, what you can expect, and they're not claiming something exaggerated. I actually have a really good example. I was referred to a shawwoman. by my friend. And I reached out to her and I was like, hey, I'd love to do a session with you. And she wrote me like a 5-paragraph email and was like, great, this is what you can expect. Here's how you can get the most of it. This is exactly what I charge. If you're 10 minutes late, I unfortunately have to charge it. Like, she was so clear that I felt like, oh, you have so much integrity in your work.
When
so
did you look do for this? That.
Yesterday.
What?
What?
I need details.
Well, I haven't done the session. I just got the
information. Oh, I see. Then I need to do it too. Okay.
Yeah. Okay. Yep. I'll forward her to you. So that's the first one. So transparency. Then the other thing I look for is humility, only because that's the kind of healer and intuitive that I am, which is that I always tell people my job is to turn your light on towards your higher self. I am not your higher self.
Right.
You don't need me to be connected to your intuition. I'm just reminding you how to do it. So it's like acknowledging, they need to acknowledge their position in your life as a guide, but not the only solution. I think if you're talking to a healer or you hear about a healer, it's like this person's going to save your life. Only you can save your life. Only you can really turn on that light and shine. But there are people who can help you turn the light on, but they should never position themselves as the answer.
Yeah. And I think that message of I can fix you all 100% is really appealing to people when they're in like their most vulnerable state, which often is when people will reach out to healers because they're already feeling so desperate and they need the help. And someone has this like magic bullet. They're like, shit, yeah, I'll take that.
Yeah. And a good healer is going to walk you through how to solve the problem, sort of like a therapist, rather than just tell you the answer. Because if you can come to it from a real organic place, you're more likely to like live it and embody it. And that's hard work. Sometimes we just want easy solutions because we don't want to do all of that soul searching and all of that work. Sometimes we like the claim that, like, here we go, just snap your fingers and it'll poof, go away with this person.
I really like that. I always really
like it. Would
like
be
that.
Wonderful.
I know. I know.
So I think that as part of that humility thing, the other thing I look for, and I say this all the time, is like a healer has to empower you, not make you feel dependent on them. They're going to teach you the tools to support yourself rather than make you feel like you have to rely on them and keep coming back to them. It's about empowerment. That's really, really important.
Can I interject?
Yeah.
Like, I just saw an energy healer and I can't do that myself. I mean, she like was like, you can learn this method by reading this book. Like she told me the book that she started on, you know, 30 years ago and then has improved on her abilities since.
Yeah.
Like, I can't do that shit myself right now, nor do I have the time. So I do rely on her for that.
I don't think it's about learning how to do the thing. Like, you're not going to learn how to do Reiki on yourself. There are people who are so gifted at moving energy with their hands, for example. But then what they're doing is like, they're moving the energy, they're clearing it, and they're empowering you to go live your life. They're not saying, you got to keep coming back to me because you can't do this on your own.
Totally. Agreed.
So it's 100%. Really this sense of empowerment. And the other thing about empowerment, there's this healer that some of us know. And, you know, one of the things that happens is that sometimes there can be this sense of like authority over you around this person. Like, they know better, or they're like, there's a status that they're looking for. Stop trying to guess who it is.
Do I know this person?
Stop trying to guess who it is. My point is that I always tell the people who we talk about this, like, a healer should never need to be in a position of authority over you. That's not what it's about. It's about making you feel so much in your higher self, so expanded that you're like, boom, eye to eye with this person that you look up to. And if they need to feel status or authority, that's something's up. Like, they, not that they're not gifted, but they're not going to fully give of themselves in a way that's going to empower you if they need to feel that way. Or if they need that dynamic to be about feeling better about themselves, because then it's not about you.
Yeah.
The other one is just really respecting your boundaries.
Yeah.
You know, making sure that they're asking you for your consent if they're going to do something. For me, for example, we'll get into sessions sometimes where I'm like really in my intuitive state.
Yeah.
And I'll get some triggering information. And it's really important that people don't drop that shit on you. But I'll ask, like, hey, you know, something's coming through for me. I'm sensing something around this childhood moment. Yeah. Are you open to hearing about it? Are you open to talking about it? And if they say no, respecting the boundary rather 100%. Than trying to show off that, like, hey, I've got this information and I'm going to save you with it.
I've seen you do that. It's very impressive.
It's important because the other person's well-being matters more than anything.
And because that can feel really invasive if it's not something that you were looking to discuss or to go into.
Yeah, exactly. And then respecting your choices too. Like sometimes a healer will tell him, poor Rhea, my mentor, who's been on the show, she probably tells me the same advice 250 times
and
in the like 15 years we've been together. And I don't listen sometimes. And she's just not attached to it. She's not attached to what I'm choosing to do with the information, which is, again, so empowering. And I feel so loved by her, which is why to be going to someone for 15 years, like, that means that you feel seen and empowered. Feeling like you can respect the other person's autonomy. Or feeling like that the healer respects your autonomy and they're not shoving their opinions down your throat. They're giving you information. And guess what? Every healer, every psychic, every intuitive will tell you this. We can get a sense of what might be coming, but there's such a thing as free will. And the minute that you interact with life in a slightly different way, that outcome changes. And that is your entire right as a soul that's embodied. So we can't control other people's choices, nor should we.
Okay. Good ones.
And then this last one I think to look for is that the healer themselves is committed to their own continued growth and their own healing and their own journey.
How would you know that?
Well, I think it's talking like, you know, you have it all figured out, or if they mention things about their lives that seem perfect, or that like they are in, again, maybe it's an authority thing, but it's also just, I think, demonstrating for me that I'm walking alongside you. So like right. in a session, I'll use a lot of anecdotes about like, yeah, I know I just got like eviscerated by a reviewer and then my imposter syndrome, you know, like showing that I'm vulnerable too. I don't have it all figured out because no one does. No one does.
Yeah, yeah.
So if any healer or guru is telling you that they have it all figured out, there's something, I don't know, fishy about that.
Yeah, icky. If anyone ever tells you they have anything all figured out, healer or non-healer, it makes me feel weird.
Yeah, yeah.
Got it all figured out. Nothing else to learn here.
Right, exactly. So, okay, 5 red flags then. Okay, after everything okay. I said, look for these things. 1, guaranteed results. I can 100% do X, Y, or Z, or I can guarantee that after this session, you will no longer feel fear.
No, thank you. It's the same thing with anything or your money back.
Right. Well, or your money back, I don't mind, because it's like, all right, well, then
right. I'll try it. Let's give it a go.
Yeah. The other one is fear-based tactics. If you don't do this, something bad will happen.
Scary.
Anyone who's trying to scare you into working with them is a red flag. Pressuring you to commit financially prior to a session is a red flag. They should, you know, they can take a down payment or part of it, but they should do the service and then get paid for the service.
I've also heard of people who have seen healers and then they'll be like in a session and they'll be like, would you like me to do this? And the person's like, sure. And they don't tell them, well, that costs like $70 more.
Yeah, totally. So again, like the
bullshit
price transparency.
Yeah.
The 4th is claiming to be the only one who can do it or the only one who knows the truth. There are so many gifted people. And by the way, you yourself are the one who can make the change.
Right.
So again, anyone who's claiming it's just them, only they have the skill, only they can do it, red flag. And then lastly, very important, refusing to acknowledge when they're wrong. Sometimes in a session, I'll get something, ain't for that person. And it's important to be like, oh, okay, well, I was wrong about that, rather than convincing someone, no, are you sure? Or making you doubt yourself or gaslight you.
Again, what do you think you're getting when that happens? Like, what are you getting if you are getting incorrect? I'm not saying that's a problem. I'm just curious what you think you're getting. Things.
I'm human. So my own stuff, my own white noise, my own way of perceiving something, or I'm getting something, you know, I tell you, it's like playing charades sometimes
right.
where you're getting and channeling intuitive information. You know, I'm getting something, but it's going through the filter of my own ego. And so I'll spit it out in a way that just doesn't resonate.
Right.
Yeah. Smart. So you got to say, I was wrong. We did an episode on this, but I think that sometimes healers can start to like edge towards the line of cult-like mentality.
I'm in your cult. I get it.
Yeah. The cult is Maury. So I think, you know, where a healing space can become cult-like is if you're being discouraged to think critically. This is why I always encourage you to be cynical with this stuff. This is why I asked you to do this show with me, because you need to be able to be challenged and hold it as a healer, but also the other person should be able to have critical thinking around it.
Or ask a question.
Or ask a question or like come to it on their own. That's really important.
I ask a lot of questions. I'm probably such an annoying client. I'm like, how did you do that? How did you know that? What did you see? I like to understand the whole process. So I think I ask for a lot of clarity around it.
If you're legit, that shouldn't scare you as a healer.
Totally. And anyone I have seen, is mostly very open and transparent and happy to share because they understand that this isn't something that everybody is, it's easy to swallow for everybody.
Yeah, exactly. And I think that this is the same when I'm talking about healers, like also think about social media gurus and healers too. Think about all of this as I'm talking about just the content they share and the way they're asking you to think. Same thing. If you're not allowed, if they're discouraging your critical thinking, if they're the only ones who know the truth. So this doesn't just have to be a healer you're going to see. It can also be content you're interacting with.
I have a question. This is actually a perfect example. My cleaning guy, last time he was here, I had water and crystals out front on my doorstep because it was a full moon the day he came.
Yeah.
And I do it with my kids every full moon.
Yeah.
And we put it out and we put our intentions in and we leave it out. And he said, what is that? And I told him, and assuming he'd laugh at me like most people do. And he said, oh, you're into that? And I was like, yeah. And then he like just went off. Anyway, he was like, I have this guy from Mexico. He's Mexican, who is an amazing tarot card reader, like amazing. I'm like, oh, rad, I'm in, totally. But then it was like this whole, he was like, he doesn't speak English, so I'm going to have to get a translating app. And he like, I'm going to have to Western Union the money. And like, I totally want to do it. But I'm also like, how do I even know if this dude is worth my time? Like, what do? I want to do it. I'm going to tell you it's a full body yes for me.
It is a full body yes?
Yeah.
How much is it?
$50.
Okay.
It feels like a no brainer. But what if it was $200?
Well, that's what I mean. I think you have to balance the risk reward. The first thing I'm going to say is that we have to trust our own intuition. So if you like get still with yourself, and a full body yes means your intuition is saying yes.
I also love this shit.
Yeah. But then it's like, okay, so I'm getting this yes. And am I willing to part with $50? I think the thing to be careful of is like how much information you give. I would be pretty reserved in that session.
I tend to be very reserved anyway. And it's tarot.
I also just love healers and tarot card readers from other places. You know, like,
how do I get the translation?
I thought that someone's going to translate it. Can someone be there?
Well, I said I can bring it. And the guy was like, my cleaning guy was like, I don't think you should do that. Because what if because I have one person I know who speaks very fluent Spanish. And I was like, I don't know. He was like, what if he tells you something that you don't want to share with that person? And he's kind of right. Like the person I'm thinking about, I'm not super close with.
I don't know how you would do it without a translator there.
He said there's like apps and things you can do. Anyway, my whole point was like, this is a random, I typically only see healers that I either have been referred to me or like I know something about.
Yeah.
But I'm assuming a lot of people don't, especially if you're not in a world like this where you have spirituality around you.
Yeah.
That is like, my question was, how do I know? Even though, yes, I'll trust my intuition. How do I have any idea? What if this guy was extremely expensive?
Yeah. Well, I think you go through all the red flags I listed. And if they're no, then you give it a shot. And again, I think the risk level is low because it's a lower price point. But I'm glad you asked, because that's where I kind of wanted to end is like, how do you protect yourself from this kind of manipulation and make sure that you're with a healer who you feel good about? So that was the first one. It's like, really stay connected to your own knowing. If something feels off at all, trust that feeling immediately.
Yeah.
Trust that feeling. Don't gaslight yourself. I've done this with healers where I'm like, this person, oh my God.
Yeah. Am like, I the problem?
Like it must be me. It's not. Am I doing this right?
Sometimes I'm like, am I doing this right? I'm not supposed to do anything.
The first time I did a psilocybin journey with a shaman, my sister was there as the person who sat with me. So she didn't do it. And I did it. And I must have said to her 200 times, I'm not doing this right. I'm not doing this right. And it was actually such a cool way of me watching myself assume that about things in general.
Oh, wow. So, you could step outside with that.
Yeah. Journey. So just know that we do doubt ourselves. We've been taught to doubt ourselves. Trust that first feeling. And then the other is like, talk to people outside of that healing group. Like just get other people's perspectives. Just be careful for super cynical friends who just don't believe in this stuff because they will, you know, tell you not to do it at all, but surround yourself with diverse perspectives and then pay attention to how you feel after the reading or after the healing session too. If you don't feel empowered or energized or abundant, if you don't feel full of possibility, that was not what the healing was about. The healing has to make you feel something like that.
And I think that that can actually happen even with a good healer, but it's just not something that's aligned with you. I am skeptical and I do have a hard time. Even when I book these sessions, I often think to myself, what the fuck are you doing? Like, are you being serious right now? But I've said it before on other episodes too. My thing is I take from it what I take from it.
Yeah.
Like it doesn't have to be like she had some magic powers that she did on me. Either someone phrased something in a way that I hadn't thought, or they brought up something that I did attach to some aspect of my childhood that I hadn't thought about how it impacted me. I always just take from it what I take from it. It doesn't have to be 100% or nothing.
Yeah.
Like I see where I go, how I feel differently, how, like you said, how, what if I feel energized after. That's not like really, again, that's putting the work on me after it.
Yeah. You have to be accountable for it too.
Yeah.
And then just, again, the money stuff is really important. Like make sure they're upfront with their pricing. There's no high pressure sales tactics, or that you don't feel rushed or, oh my God, I hate this sales tactic of like one spot left. Probably not true. And just anything that's rushing you into a financial decision isn't empowering. So you can, you know, really like stop and listen to your gut on that too. Like, am I feeling pushed into
aggressive, adorable older tarot card readers on the boardwalk who are like yelling you to come in, and they're wearing long skirts and they look so cute. And I'm like, I want to come in because you're adorable, but you're being really aggressive the way you're motioning me to get over there.
Yeah, totally. And if you are ready to end a healing relationship because all of a sudden the light bulb turned on today, then first, I want to remind you, trust yourself, trust that feeling. You don't need permission from anyone else to leave that situation. Two, you just say really clearly, I'm choosing a different path. And you do not respond to any kind of pressure. And you don't need to have any kind of unnecessary confrontation. State your thing. Don't allow the person to come back and try to manipulate you.
Like, don't fist fight your psychic.
Don't fist fight your psychic.
That's the takeaway here. Way. Yeah. Stop wrestling your intuitive healer. Okay.
Yeah. That's it. So
write that down.
Anyway, I hope that's empowering, because I really want people to be empowered through healing. I think it's, you know, emotional and spiritual healing is such an important puzzle piece in you feeling whole. And it's important. It's important to pursue it. Pursue it in a way that feels good, and pursue it with the people who empower you to feel good.
Love. You empower me to feel good, which is why you're one of my healers.
And you're my best friend. So
might be biased. That too.
Don't let Melissa pressure you into working with
me. Do it. There's only one spot left to be her best friend. I've taken the other one.
That's it, guys. I hope you enjoyed this episode and that you took something from it. If you did, share it. We would so appreciate it. And we'll be back again next week with another episode of Signal. See you then. Bye,
Beans. Bye.
This has been another episode of Signal, the podcast that raises your frequency. This podcast is co-hosted and produced by myself, Maury Fontanez, and Melissa Bushka, and is edited by our sound editor, Josie Barak. Stay tuned next week for another episode.